When you hear that bell, you know it's time for another class of the Warren County Radio Bible School, and I invite you at this time to get your Bibles and turn them to Isaiah 61, and we'll continue the study of this prophecy that Jesus read in the synagogue and applied to himself in Luke chapter 4. So we're going to be reading that in just a moment and studying that. From Elam's notes for a Sunday school lesson he had written for October the 29th, 1922, Isaiah 61, 1 through 9. And while you're turning to that passage, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. When you visit, if you visit and you have been listening to this radio program, tell me that. I'm Bill Boyd. I'm the preacher at Rock Cliff, and several have come up to me telling me we hear you on the radio, or the other day I was hearing that she said a friend of mine listens to you on the radio and likes that broadcast, and of course that's going to be an encouragement to me. If otherwise you'd like to contact me, you can use my email or text me at my email. Enter it in just like you would a phone number. It is WMHBOYD at AOL.com. And send me your comments or questions or whatever you want to send to me in regard to this radio Bible school. But now let's get back to our text. We're reading this beautiful prophecy from Isaiah chapter 61. And we're on the first verse, and we've got a few more notes on this verse I want to read. But this verse talks about how Jesus comes to the poor. Here it is, Isaiah 61 and verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord Jehovah is upon me, because Jehovah hath appointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to open the prison to them that are bound. The gospel, Elam's notes says, the gospel is printed. The Bible is published and sent without cost to every poor home in the land, and it is translated into the various languages and dialects of the earth, and scattered without money and without price. Schools all over Christian lands are open to the poor, where they can learn to read, and therefore read for themselves the Word of God. Colleges, public libraries, and art galleries are open to them. Asylums, hospitals, sanitariums, widows and orphans' homes, houses of refuge, and various other benevolent institutions have been provided for the needy. This is not the case where Christianity is not known. These reflect the light of the Sun of Righteousness as the moon reflects that of the King of Day. Were there no sun, there would be no light for the moon to reflect. And where there were no Christ, every continent would be a dark continent indeed. Much more remains to be done along this line in carrying out the glorious mission of the gospel, but all that has been accomplished has been done through the influence of Christianity. Then Christ preaches the gospel to all the poor, that is, the humble, or, as it says in Matthew 5 in verse 3, the poor in spirit, and the poor sinners doomed to everlasting destruction, unless they repent. Christ is the water of life to the thirsty, the bread of life to the hungry, the light of the world to all that are in darkness, the great physician, the balm of Gilead to the afflicted and to those who mourn. Hence he heals the brokenhearted, those who are broken down and overwhelmed with sorrow. How consoling, how healing to the bleeding heart are the precious and exceeding great promises of Jesus. He preached deliverance to the captives of sin, of which deliverance from Babylon was a type. Everyone that committeth sin is the bondservant of sin, we read in John chapter 8 and verse 34. All slaves of evil habits, of fleshly passions, like intemperance, worldly pride, and vanity, are set free by Jesus. Note what Christianity has done in the way of prison reforms and in the freedom of literal slaves. Jesus opened the eyes of the literally blind, and Christianity has erected blind asylums and made books which the blind can read. But Jesus has opened the eyes of the ignorant and of the spiritually blind, pointing them to heaven and to the highest aims and hopes of true life. Jesus did all this while on earth, but what he did in person was only an earnest of what his church would afterward accomplish in the same great work. Christianity today is known by its fruits. Isaiah said in Isaiah 61 in verse 2 that Jesus would come to proclaim the year of Jehovah and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. The year of Jehovah's favor, or the acceptable year of the Lord, Luke chapter 4 and verse 19, was the time when all this would be fulfilled. The deliverer, and therefore the deliverance, had come. He would save men from sin and eternal death. This may have been an allusion to the Jewish year of Jubilee. This year to the Jews was full of great promises and blessings. The landed property went back to the owner, who through poverty had to sell it, and the captive went free. We hear about Jubilee a lot sometime in religious circles and all, but it really goes back to an old law that God had given the children of Israel, that in the 50th year they would return that which was sold to them to those who had sold it to them, so that they could again prosper. We read about it in Leviticus chapter 25. Let me read verses 8 through 17. Leviticus 25, 8 through 17. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years. And there shall be unto thee the days of 7 Sabbaths of years, even 49 years. Then shalt thou send abroad the loud trumpet on the 10th day of the 7th month, in the day of atonement, shall you send abroad the trumpet throughout the land, and ye shall hallow the 50th year, and proclaim liberty throughout the land unto the inhabitants thereof. It shall be the Jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man into his possession, and ye shall return every man to his family. A Jubilee that the 50th year be to you. Ye shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of the undressed vines. For it is a jubilee. It shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. In this year of jubilee ye shall return every man unto his possession. And if thou sell aught to thy neighbor, or buy of thy neighbor's hand, ye shall not wrong one another. According to the number of years after the jubilee, thou shalt buy of thy neighbor, and according to the number of years of the crops, he shall sell unto thee. According to the multitude of the years, thou shalt increase the price thereof, and according to the fewness of the years, thou shalt diminish the price of it. For the number of the crops doth he sell unto thee, and ye shall not wrong one another, but shall fear God, for I am Jehovah your God. That verse in Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 10, it says to proclaim liberty throughout the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Did you know that that verse from Leviticus 25:10 is inscribed on the Liberty Bell, that great Liberty Bell of freedom that is in the history of our country? And so that is an appropriate verse for that to be inscribed upon that bell. Now, this day of Jubilee is also going to be a day of vengeance. Isaiah 61 in verse 2, to proclaim the year of Jehovah's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. A day of vengeance. How great the meaning of our God, our Father, and the God and Father of our Lord and Savior. That day of vengeance has not come, but it will come, and it will come upon all the disobedient. Isaiah warned of a day of vengeance in Isaiah chapter 34 and verse 8. For Jehovah hath a day of vengeance, a year of recompense for the cause of Zion. He also warned about that day in Isaiah chapter 63 and verse 4. For the day of vengeance was in my heart, and in the year of my redeemed is come. And then we read about a vengeance in the New Testament text in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 7, warning of a vengeance to come. The Apostle Paul writes, "To you that are afflicted, rest with us at the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven, with the angels of his power in flaming fire, rendering vengeance to them that know not God, and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his might, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be marveled at in all them that believe, because our testimony unto you was believed in that day." Jesus proclaims in his solemn warning to the rebellious cities where he labored a warning of vengeance. And then in Isaiah chapter 61 in verse 3 we read that he would appoint them that mourn in Zion and give them a garland for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the plantings of Jehovah, that he may be glorified. At Nazareth, Jesus read no further than the two preceding verses, but closed the book and gave it to the attendant. God would appoint unto them that mourn joy instead of sorrow, as the context shows. There were those then who mourned, and those who now mourn in spiritual Israel. In Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 20, we read that the sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for Jehovah will be thy everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. And then in Isaiah 57 and in verse 18, we read, "I have seen his ways, and I will heal him. I will lead him also, and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners." God will restore comfort to the mourners. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." He's referring to this mourning of Israel in their sin and over their sin. But those who mourn are to be comforted by the gospel. And those words were fulfilled beginning on the day of Pentecost, when that glorious gospel is preached into all the world. A way of salvation is given. Our sins are washed away when we are repent and we are baptized, and we enter into the joy of the Lord and the peace and comfort that we have of being one of his in his church. This is as far as we're going to be able to go today. And so you tune in next time and we'll continue this study from Isaiah 61.